I want to just read a passage of scripture today that the Lord put on my heart. And if you've been around here much, over the last 30 years, we've really done quite a lot of fasting for a church. And we have every month 3 days that we call Hungry for God. Sometimes we've had this many people come out in fasting and prayer. Sometimes we've had this many people come out in fasting and prayer. But the point is, we've hung in there. There's a lot to be said about faithfulness over the long haul. There's a lot to be said about being tempted to quit and not quitting. There's a lot to be said about hanging in there when you're not at the top of your game. And so for 30 years, we've fasted and prayed and done special fasts and whatnot. But as important as that is, and I think it's very important, as important as that is, I would like to read to you from the prophet Isaiah and talk about something that is, according to the Bible, even more important than fasting. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and tell my people their transgression, in the house of Israel their sin. They seek me daily, they delight to know my ways." That sounds good, doesn't it? "As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice, and they take delight in approaching God." How many think that all sounds pretty good? All right, so. Then they say, "Why have we fasted and you have not noticed, afflicted our souls, you have not seen?" So I'm going to skip to his answer. He says this. "This is the fast that I have chosen." Okay? This is verse 6 of Isaiah 58. This, he's responded to them. They said, "We're trying to do everything right. Why aren't you paying attention?" And he answers them. He says, "This is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and break off the yoke of the oppressor." Verse 7, "It is to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the poor and needy into your own home." Now, I just want you to think about this for a moment. Have you ever done that? That's pretty significant here. They're fasting, they're praying, they're seeking God daily. They're asking him what pleases him, and he answers. And he says, "Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the poor and needy and those cast out into your house. When you see those without clothes, that you give them something to cover themselves, and that you take care of the needy in your own family." You know, we honestly, guys, we really need to do better at this. This is as anointed as John 3:16. And for some reason, most Americans give themselves a hall pass on this. Well, that's not really what it means. Actually, that's exactly what it means. That's exactly what it means. To share your food with hungry people and to take poor and needy people in to your home. That's exactly what it means. It's not a metaphor. If you haven't done that, ask yourself why. And it's no big deal sitting in front of me right now, but someday we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all will. And so I'm just trying to do you the favor of helping you think through now what you're going to tell him is why you never did that. Think it through. I didn't do it because they smelled bad. I thought they would steal stuff from my house. I was afraid that you wouldn't protect me, even though you promise everywhere in your book that you will. This has always been, some of you have known Cheryl and I for 30 years. We have always had people live with us. And I want to be honest. This has been puzzling to me many times. Like, how come people just take a free hall pass on that? Like, I'm going to totally ignore that. So anyway, it's a big deal. And you need to know it was people that were really trying to do the right thing that said, God, why isn't this working like we want? And God in his mercy said, I'll tell you why. I'm more concerned about the poor and needy than about how many days you fast. I'm more concerned that you share your coats. We're doing a coat drive. And honestly, I know how this works. The big majority of the church won't bring a coat, even though they'll probably throw one away in the next year. I just, not my first rodeo on this church thing, but everybody has spare blankets. There are people that were very cold last night. And by the way, they're people that Jesus loved. So, of course, what we do in our minds, we say, well, they wouldn't be very cold if they weren't a doggone heroin addict. Well, listen, I have studied this out, and there is nothing in the Bible that associates your mercy with someone else's good behavior. It never, by the way, we still don't know why the guy got beaten up and robbed along the road. The Good Samaritan story? It never comments on why that happened. He might have been stupidly traveling at night with a purse in his hand. Really bad idea on a lonely road. My point is, it might have been all his fault that he got beat up. But that story doesn't even bring that up. Whatever he did wrong, that puts him in the same column that you and I are in. Sinners who do stupid things. Nobody here that's not like that. You might not have ever been a heroin addict, but you are a sinner. And how dare any of us stand on one side of the church and look at somebody else and say, I thank you, God, that I am not like that sinner over there. And by the way, having given our whole lives to pastoring, a lot of it has to do with factors that you never faced. Some broken people were broken when they were babies. They never had a snowball's chance in hell to do things right. We've brought people that were mid-30s to family dinners and had them say, I have never in my life had a sit-down dinner in a family setting. Never had that happen. So we can take a lot of things for granted, but we need to be really careful. If we get to saying, we will be merciful if you deserve it, then we just might find God saying, and I'll forgive you next time you deserve it. We don't deserve to be forgiven. He's merciful. He's gracious. And the whole idea of mercy is getting something much better than what you deserve. And so that is the heart of God. And he wants us to learn to do that. We've had people steal stuff. So what? They can't carry off enough to permanently harm us. Right? Excuse me. I'm This is my time to talk. Excuse me. Ushers, would you take this woman out here?
Like 20 years ago, we took in this little girl, and she takes our stereo. I mean, we've taken people in, and it's been amazing how God's covered us. But he brings up that somebody stole something. I want to just share the story because it's hilarious. I want to share the story. This girl takes off with our stereo, and she's like 16. She's a tiny little young twit. 15. She takes off with our stereo. And so the next thing we know, we've got some guy out here wanting to help Dave retrieve the things that have been taken from our house. He found out on the streets that she took our stereo from our house. And so he's coming out here.
You got the story all wrong. Go sit down and I'll finish the story.
I'm going to stay here just in case.
Okay. All right, so the story she wants to tell is we brought in a little girl from juvenile hall, troubled girl, and so she's staying with us. Meanwhile, out at the church, we let people, work for a lot of parolees, and we got a parolee. He come out here. He's a big old muscle-bound guy, and he worked. You know, we can work them so long, and then they have to either go on payroll or we're done with that. So anyway, we were done. And he said, hey, I know about churches. You run on tithes. You got anybody that's not paying their tithes? And I said, yeah. He said, I can collect those tithes for you. He was serious as a heart attack. He said, you give me a list. You tell me how much they owe, and I will collect the tithes. I said, nah, we don't do it that way, but thanks for the offer. So anyway... But he liked us, and so this little girl stole our stereo, and we got up one morning, and, you know, wires sticking out of the wall. She stole it all. And I think it was later that day, wasn't it? Later that day, this guy, Sly, knocks on the door. I opened it up. He says, you missing some stuff? And I said, yeah. He says, she won't steal from the preacher again. I said, Sly, did you hurt her? He said, no, but I scared her bad enough. She'll never steal anything else from you. He's a big old boy. I thought that was probably pretty easy for you to do. Anyway, I said, well, thank you, Sly, for returning that. He said, nobody messes with the man of God. He said, I told her that. He said, if we're going to steal from the right people, but don't steal from that church. Anyway. Cheryl's right. God's always protected us. But listen, that shouldn't surprise you. He promised to protect us. And the few things that she's forgetting about that I have lost have not been that big a deal. Watches and stuff. So it's not a big deal. Well, we're going to be fine. If you obey God, if you do the right thing, he's got you covered, right? My point is it's just demonically inspired foolishness that causes us to think we won't obey God because something might go wrong. Actually, things go wrong because we are not willing to obey God. But when we do what God asks, he covers us and he helps us and he will do that. And so anyway, I believe that God really wants us to come to terms with this. Let me keep reading. It says, bring the poor and needy into your house. Those that are cold and naked, cover them. Don't turn your back on the needs of your own family. And listen to this in verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Healing shall spring forth speedily. Now, maybe God's confused about that. Maybe right now he's thinking, oh, Dave, that was a typo. I was trying to say their heating bill would be taken care of. No, it says healing. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. When we do things that we can do, God promises to do things that we can't do. And again, this is a promise of God. He says, if you will get serious about the things that I am serious about, I will help you with the other stuff that you can't seem to change in your life. Your light will spring forth speedily. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Righteousness shall go before you. The glory of God will protect you. How awesome is that? The glory of God will protect you. When you pray, I will answer you speedily. When you call to me, I will say, here I am. Take away the yoke from your midst. Quit pointing your finger at other people. Now listen, with the poor and needy, that happens all the time. It's like you shouldn't be a heroin addict. You shouldn't be a meth addict. You shouldn't. Don't do that. God doesn't do that to you. In our need, we come to God. He's merciful. So God is saying, if you want these blessings, quit saying na, 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 and shame on you. Quit doing that. Take away from you the pointing of the finger. And it says, and speaking wicked words, like they deserve that, or it's a waste of money. Listen, showing mercy has never, ever in human history been a waste of money. Not showing mercy. It's never, ever been a waste of money. When you give somebody something and say, God bless you, brother, it is never a waste of money. Now, they may do the wrong thing with that money, but what you gave them in Jesus' name is not a waste. Why? Because of the message. There's a God that loves me, as Cheryl says, in the middle of my mess. The church has to quit posturing itself like this is a society of the self-improved. So get over your mess before you come in the door. We got to get over that. We got to say, like Jesus does, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened down with sins and addictions and life-dominating problems and serious dysfunctions, just bring it all to the foot of the cross, and we will humbly and graciously love one another and celebrate the fact that there's enough mercy and grace and love to go around for all of us. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus loves us all with equal enthusiasm. Listen to what he says. Quit pointing your finger and speaking wicked words. Extend your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Then your light shall dawn in the midst of darkness. Your darkness will be turned to noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy you even in severe drought and will strengthen you. You'll flourish like a watered garden. Like a spring of water whose waters do not fail, you'll rebuild old waste places, raise up the foundations of past generations, and be called repairers of the breach and restorers of pleasant streets to dwell in. Now, he says, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he'll cause you to ride on the high hills and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. What does that mean? Jacob is the poster boy for divine transformation. Jacob became Israel. And so God's saying, I will intervene in your life. I will turn things around for you. I will bless you. I will help you. Listen, I know there are a lot of promises in the book, but I don't know anywhere that it's this obvious. They said, we're trying to do everything right. Doesn't seem to be working. God says, I'll tell you why. You forgot about the poor and needy. If you will reach out to them and help them and love them and not blame them and not shame them, and not make them feel like you think you're better than them. Quit all that nonsense and just love them and help them. If you do that, God says, I will bless you in all these ways. It is an amazing batch of promises. And so, I think God wants us to be more merciful than we have ever been, kinder than we've ever been, to look for it as a priority. We have had a warehouse at the end of the property for a long time. We've done some wonderful things with it. I'm happy with everything that we've done with it. But I've thought, ever since we've had it, I've thought someday God will help us. And that won't just be a little pond where we collect things and then send them to Cambodia, which, again, some of that is great stuff. We partnered with Gleanings for the Hungry, which I was just down doing a DTS at their base. There have been some great things. Sent a lot of stuff to Mexico. And I'm happy with all that. But I've always thought at some point there will just be a river of blessing that flows through this church, and we'll frequently be involved in it, and we'll be given clothes to the cold, and we'll be given food to the hungry, and we'll really just be a constant blessing. And right now, God is doing some wonderful things. I told you, there's been a lot of spiritual warfare. Jess was prophesying about that. God has been really speaking to us. Today, the Lord was very clear in speaking to us. And so, let's be listeners. Those who have an ear to hear, listen to what God's saying. So, God is reopening the house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And telling us to wait on Him. And that as we do, He'll speak to us. But another thing is God brought Michael Schubert, who has been in the Woodland area, and years ago, because he's prophetic, he introduced himself, said, "I'd like to pray for Cheryl and you." And God knows we've needed the prayer over the last few years. It's been intensive spiritual warfare. But anyway, you know, he'd show up and have a prophetic word. He's just a great guy. But meanwhile, he was doing mercy ministries in the Woodland area and has done an amazing job. But God just seems to be moving him up here to help us. And so he's just recently taken the oversight of that warehouse and is really getting it in shape. And a lot of the problem we've had around here is it was always on somebody's agenda that had their plate too full to really spend much time. And so here comes Michael. He says, "Hey, that's what blows my hair back, is taking care of the poor and needy. It's a central focus in the church." By the way, let me just mention this. When Paul the Apostle was trying to break in to the circle of those that were extending the gospel for the first time in human history out of Jerusalem, they were very skeptical and they rejected him. And for 14 years they rejected him. That's a long time. And then he came back and he said, "Jesus Christ, the same guy that mentored you, has mentored me. He's come back and he's trained me and taught me." And he said, "And he's called me to be an apostle to the Gentiles." This is in the Bible. He says, "When they saw the grace that God had put upon me, they separated me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And the only thing they told me was this." That is such an amazing statement. Here's this guy that you don't know if you trust, and you're giving him this huge task to be the apostle to the Gentile. He said, "The only thing they told us is if you're going to represent Jesus Christ, remember to take care of the poor and needy." It's in your Bible. He said, "The only thing they told me is, hey, this you... whatever else you do, write books, sell popcorn, whatever. But whatever else you do, you make sure you take care of the poor and needy, because true Christians take care of the poor and needy." So how significant is that? So anyway, God brought Michael, and he's helping us with the house of prayer. He's helping us with the warehouse. And there's some exciting things. I want him to come and tell what's exciting right now, because you can take some stuff right now and give it to some needy people in your area. And you can eat some of it yourself if you want.
I want this to land on you, because God made it really clear this morning, this out of the house of prayer and all the prayers that's been going on, God wants this to be a house of feeding the 5,000. And that's done with a little. Over the last several weeks, an average of 1,000 servings of food a day have gone out of here. And there's a stranger en route right now from Napa with a truck, has 5 pallets of produce, 30 cases of chicken thighs, and 30 cases of pork loin. And it's for the body first. Tread is going to get some for the team. It's for the church. And if there's leftovers, it's going to go out. But stuff like that is happening daily. We're getting calls. There was, with Lou's help, 5,000 pounds of chocolate came in the other day. It's like almost all gone. The tent meeting, I just talked to somebody. He's like, yeah, we got chocolate last night. It's like, what? Everybody at the tent meeting got fed. Everybody tonight at the tent meeting got fed. Every table in the women's friend the other night had chocolate at their plate. Things are happening supernaturally, and you're a part of it. But out of being before him and waiting on him, thousands, this is a church of feeding the 5,000. One time a volunteer came to me and said, this is all I have. And I said, you have more than Jesus had. At the time, he blessed it and gave thanks and fed the 5,000. So we're either in this for real or we're just going to talk about it. So thank you.
What time, Michael?
What time? Okay, 1:30, you can stop by and get some stuff at the warehouse, which is, if you don't know, we have 40 acres on the other side of the pomegranate. Michael, stay up here for a minute. On the other side of the peaches, there's a warehouse. Michael, stay up here for just a minute, okay? My wife can be so distracting. Anyway, So just go down Live Oak Boulevard to the other side of the orchards, and you'll see just a warehouse there, and that's where it'll be. Stop by and get some. Again, get some for yourself. That's fine. But let's not just always hoard everything. Let's just learn to be generous and to share. And so that's what this whole message is about. But I want you to stand up and I just wanted Michael to stay up here because he's the point of the spear in this ministry. I believe that it's God's will for us to be renowned for mercy ministries. And we're known all over the world for some things, but wouldn't it be great if something that was that central to the heart of Jesus we were known for? And so I think we're just starting. So just extend your hands, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we don't want to ignore the things that are closest to your heart and dearest to your heart. And you have just made it plain that reaching out in mercy to the poor and needy, the disenfranchised, those that are often kicked to the curb and marginalized in society. That's what makes your heart happy. You told your followers, go out into the highways and byways and bring people in to bless them. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for every good thing that's happened already, for every time we've fed an orphan in Cambodia or an orphan in Mexico. Or thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the things that we've done here, there, and everywhere. But we pray, oh God, that you would take us into a whole new season of blessing the poor and needy. And Lord Jesus, let this be known as a house of mercy, a house of mercy. You have been merciful to me. You have been merciful to this house. Every one of us, you in mercy forgave our sins and washed away our iniquities. And Lord, called us to share in your great inheritance. We thank you for mercy. And we never want to receive mercy but not be willing to give it. Make this house a house of mercy. We thank you for Michael. Thank you for bringing him here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for already the divine momentum and the connections. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that it will become a central feature. Let this house be known as a house of prayer, waiting on God, being led by the Holy Spirit, and being merciful, merciful, merciful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Cheryl.
He told me to tell everybody this morning when I told him. I think the funnest thing in the world would be to come out and get stuff and go to your neighbors, go to anybody that you know that's poor, and just say, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Our church got this, and we're here to be a blessing. And they're going to end up looking to you for answers in the long run. If we can use these blessings to bless people that we know that might need something. And they don't need to be poor. They could just be somebody you know and just say, you know what? We got a case of whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but anything. Just take something and bless somebody. We do that with our neighbors sometimes, and they are poor. God always puts us in the best places. But realistically, everybody loves to be blessed.
By the way, we're going to have lots and lots and lots of clothes. The Foothill Lions Club, they're turning away people. They're going out and buying brand new clothes. And it's like so much stuff up there for the disaster relief that they are, all have been touched. And there is such a huge overflow that we're starting to truck stuff down here starting tomorrow. Tonight? Maybe tonight. And so we're going to have all these clothes sorted out by kids, women's, men's. And so if you need stuff and if you know of other people that need stuff, it's going to be like picking fruit off the tree. It's just like all kinds of things. So that's happening too.
Awesome. Okay, so listen, don't miss out on this. This is a freebie. To cash in on blessing. God promises, I will bless you if you do this. Cheryl, and it's really fun. Time before last when we got chocolate, I loaded up the back of the Escalade and just went into some rough neighborhoods. And there was a bunch of gangbangers, you know. They look at you like they just like to punch your lights out. And I just pulled out up and I said, you guys like chocolate? And they're looking at me. He says, who the hell's asking? I said, I'm asking. I got a bunch of free Ghirardelli's chocolate. I just wondered if you like chocolate. And he goes like this. You know, make sure nobody's watching. He says, yeah. And I said, you want a free case? He says, yeah, just put it right over here. So I went and got it, a free case of chocolate, put it down. A woman came out of the house, said, chocolate. He said, hey. He gave it to me. Get your own chocolate. So I said, oh, there's plenty more. I went and got chocolate, gave it to him. They live just a few blocks from us. And he was so thankful. Now, again, that's not wasted. That's awesome. That's a seed planted. And while I was giving it to him, I said, you know, I'm the pastor of Glad Tidings. So now, once in a while, when I go by there, if he's out there, he says, hey, you know, he says, I pastor, and then he looks around like nobody saw me do that, right? Nobody can see me talking to a pastor, but he remembers I'm the guy that gave him chocolate, and he's happy about it. So come pick some up. We're going to have lots and lots of opportunities. And so, okay, say it quick.
So some of you may be thinking, I can't afford to give and help. And God's saying you can't afford not to. So. Bless you.
Yeah. Awesome. Good word. Okay. Jesus, bless us and help us to be a blessing. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. And we pray that you do a lot through us as we just embrace this great promise that you've given us, that as you bless us, we'll be a channel of blessing to others. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for an opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, God bless you. Remember to come back. Go down to the warehouse. And this is a great opportunity to get in on a free blessing.